This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. Over the weekend, author and journalist Suki Kim, who's been a guest on this program, published an article in New York Magazine accusing former Takeaway host John Hockenberry of sexual harassment and, in some cases, sexual assault and workplace bullying. Suki herself said she was the recipient of persistent and unwanted attention from John Hockenberry. Several former women producers and interns for The Takeaway then told Suki their stories of being harassed, of receiving unwanted attention, and in some cases, being kissed without their consent. John Hockenberry does not deny these allegations. Separately, two former hosts of this show, longtime co-host Celeste Headlee and Farai Chidea, who filled in as an interim co-host for several months, recounted stories of being bullied and, as Celeste puts it, professionally sabotaged. And these stories have outraged and disappointed and saddened us here at The Takeaway. But they also raise important questions. We invited Farai Chidea on today, and also Kristen Meinzer, a former Takeaway producer and co-host of the Movie Date podcast, who was one of the women who came forward in Suki's piece. They both said they want to hear management from our parent station, WNYC, go on the air first. We have reached out to both WNYC Leadership and Public Radio International. Those are the two entities that own The Takeaway. We also invited WNYC President and CEO Laura Walker on the program today, as well as Dean Capello, WNYC's Chief Content Officer, who for a long time oversaw many elements of The Takeaway. They both declined. You can read New York Public Radio's full statement as well as PRI statement by heading over to our website at thetakeaway.org. With me now is Suki Kim, investigative journalist and author of Without You, There Is No Us, Undercover Among the Sons of North Korea's Elite. She reported this story in New York Magazine. Suki, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Suki, tell me why you started asking women who've worked on or around The Takeaway about their experiences with John Hockenberry. What made you pursue this story?
Well, I was on the show in December 2014, because that's when my book had come out, where, you know, I went undercover and lived in North Korea. And I was contacted by John Hockenberry, the host, nearly a year later, for a meeting he requested through my publicist. So I met with him, and he said that, you know, it was a brainstorming meeting, except he wouldn't really tell me what we were brainstorming. And then that's when these emails began, which were always a little bit borderline, you know, like asking to meet at a museum or just like slightly too intimate for a work correspondence. And I mean, that's the difficulty with those emails as a woman writer or just a worker, that you are not, it's hard to pinpoint what is wrong with them. But these emails just continued and continued, and he kept asking for a meeting, and I met with him again in June 2016, and that's when the emails turned, incredibly, to me, inappropriate, one of which was, "Need Another Dose of You," was how it was titled. And then I stopped replying back. And up until then, I had replied professionally. And then his emails just kept arriving and arriving. And he was emailing me until 2017, January. I mean, look, I met him in 2014 in December for 8 minutes. And these emails continued. And I couldn't actually, it was disrupting my work, because I would also separately get requests from Takeaway producers to come on the show as a guest, and I didn't want to be interviewed by the host. So as I was stuck getting this request and not able to reply, I realized that I needed to just warn the radio station. So I came here to Takeaway to report the incident with HR. And then, months later, I heard that he retired suddenly, which then began, I wondered, you know, if he was sending those emails to me and I was on the show for 8 minutes, then what is going on with all these young women who are stuck working with him in an office on a daily basis. So that's what began the whole investigation.
You turned and you asked women who worked on the takeaway and had worked on the takeaway about their own experiences with John. What did they tell you?
It was kind of amazing how very quickly I was able to, you know, hear these stories of abuse, you know, whether it was, you know, I spoke to so many women, and they generally take away, there are lots and lots of women among its staff, generally also quite young, mostly under 40, it seems. And I realized that two different kinds of abuse were taking place. You know, women who were of higher rank, which there aren't many, there were co-hosts and these guest hosts. And these women did not really, there was no sexual breach as far as I could tell, or they'd never seen it. And then there were younger women who were producers, interns, freelancers. And with them, the inappropriateness was sexual harassment, where physical contact was involved, unwanted contact, as well as these late night G-chats he would send them, really late at night, and they were all, you know, generally inappropriate, generally making them really feel uncomfortable sexually. So it was very clear that it divided into two sets of abuse that was taking place for a decade, pretty much.
Some of the women you spoke to described unwanted attention from John. Some women described inappropriate sexual encounters, including kissing when they didn't want to be kissed.
Right. I mean, I think what was common with those stories were how scared they were, because younger women generally, you know, didn't have much power on the show. And Huckleberry was at the top of the show. He basically, it was all about him, really, the whole show. He's the oldest person on the show. You know, he's the hero of the show. He's the supposedly the genius of the show. All these young women were in awe of him. And I'm not saying all of them said negative things. Some women were, you know, exceptionally positive about Huckleberry being their mentor. In a way, some of them felt indebted to him for their career. But that, for some other women, went hand in hand, where he's sort of a mentor. They never really experienced the really screaming at them kind of horrible treatment that women who are more his equal, the co-hosts, who are Adora Doji, Celeste Headlee, Farai, Chidea, what those three women experienced is very different from what the younger women experienced. So basically, what was really disturbing as I dug deeper and deeper into this investigation, which really wiped me out for over a month, just talking to anyone that I could possibly talk to about what was going on here at Takeaway for a decade, was that the levels of abuse and harassment were sort of these multiple levels of them.
Suki, before I let you go, I want to read a little bit from John Huckleberry's statement that he sent to WNYC through a spokesman and to you, and get your reaction. He says, "It horrifies me that I made the talented and driven people I worked with feel uncomfortable, and that the stress around putting together a great show was made worse by my behavior. Having to deal with my own physical limitations has given me an understanding of powerlessness, and I should have been more aware of how the power I wielded over others, coupled with inappropriate comments and communications, could have been construed. I have no excuses." Suki, your reaction?
I'm not sure if I have a reaction to that, but I have a question for you, actually, because you have said, I've seen your tweet over the weekend, that you're very surprised and in shock. I just don't understand how you could have not seen, if you've been here for a decade, where almost everyone I talked to were aware of an abuse happening around Huckleberry on either level, and also considering three co-hosts, women of color, had all left after filing complaints, mm-hmm. which essentially shut down the younger women. They couldn't complain because, you know, really powerful women complained and they were let go really by the management who did not protect any of those women. So, I mean, since you're a journalist and journalist's job description is to be perceptive, how could you not have seen? I'm not putting you on the spot, but I guess I am in a way. I'm
Suki,
curious, genuinely.
It's all right to put me on the spot because I have something that I want to say to take away listeners now on the back of your report. Let me outro you, Suki Kim, author and journalist who reported this story in New York Magazine. And Suki, don't go away because I want you to hear what I have to say to take away listeners that I think goes right to your story. People might be wondering, did I know about John Hockenberry's behavior? Was I aware of it? Did I do anything to stop it? And it is a fair question. And the answer is, I never witnessed John harass or bully anyone. Until I started hosting the show, I was Washington correspondent. I lived and worked in D.C., and I wasn't in the office with the rest of the team day to day. When I did come to New York, it was almost always when John was gone. These last few years, I was his fill-in. We were like ships passing in the night a lot of times.
What about the fact that three women were let go back-to-back after filing complaints, which almost everybody knew? And also the fact the show is about diversity, which is led by a white man, really, John Hockenberry, where all the women of color were somehow, they had to leave the show. And it's still, you're a white man hosting the show, yeah. And you didn't get fired.
Well,
like those, I mean, you didn't have to leave the show,
Suki,
for a decade.
Conversations about John's outbursts and his meanness did come up among the staff in chatter and over drinks. And you know, one thing that I used to say when John's bullying came up, whether it had to do with other hosts or with members of the staff, I felt like one of the lucky ones. John never trained his ire on me, not directly anyway. And I ask myself now, because I never asked then, why? Why was I spared? And the truth is, I don't know why I was spared John's ire. But given the other things we do know now, thanks to your reporting, it's possible John could have seen me, another white male, as less of a target. Was I privileged in my workplace because the star of the show, even subconsciously, saw me differently than some of my coworkers? Because if so, that's a problem. You know, as much as we say our workplace is a family, it's not a family. It's a job. And no one working hard on the job deserves to be treated differently because of their race or their gender or their identity or their sexual orientation. And if I was treated differently by John Hockenberry, that's something to deal with. And it's something we're going to keep talking about on this show. And Suki, I want to thank you for airing out this story. I want to thank you for reporting it and especially for agreeing to come on The Takeaway with me. And here's my pledge to you, Suki Kim, and to everyone listening to me right now, wherever this story goes, we'll keep covering it and we'll keep listening to you. And we end the program today where we began, with the allegations of harassment, assault, and bullying from our former host, John Hockenberry, here at WNYC. The victims of this treatment were producers and interns, two of his black female co-hosts, and a fill-in co-host who is also African-American. So, in this moment of reckoning over sexual harassment and assault and workplace harassment, a reckoning that has hit us square in the eyes here on The Takeaway, are women of color being heard? Is this movement, you can call it Me Too if you want, is it just about some women? Rebecca Carroll is here. She's special projects producer for WNYC. Rebecca, thanks for being in the studio.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you. Rebecca, here's where I want to start. You had some of your own experiences with John Hockenberry as a guest on this show and an employee at the station at WNYC. Can you tell me a little bit about your own experience?
Sure. I had been at this job at the station probably 2 weeks when John invited me to a staff meeting to introduce me to his staff and to talk about ways in which I might be able to work with them in whatever capacity. And probably inside 30 seconds, he said to me in front of the staff, "If it feels like a slave plantation mentality here, that's because it is." And then proceeded to, without gauging my response at all, talk about all of his sort of efforts to champion black voices during his tenure on the show.
What did that experience say to you? What did it leave you with?
Well, it's not, you know, I mean, I our our own Ilya Marritz reported for WNYC and mentioned, and I've spoken with him about this, but he referred to it as a sort of racially tinged moment. To me, that's not racially tinged. That's racially offensive. And I think what's really deeply important, some folks know that I was also a producer for The Charlie Rose Show and have talked some about my experience there. The similarities are just striking. You know, he was the show, these over-the-top egos, the narcissism, the berating, the belittling, all the rest. But importantly, these men created sort of micro fiefdoms, if you will, silos that sort of replicate a kind of white supremacy and patriarchy, which is inherently racist and sexist. So that will invariably involve racial and sexual denigration. Now, we're focusing primarily and have until now on the sexual harassment piece of it, an aspect of it, because most of the stories that have come forward and made public have been made by white women. But it's now with this story, Suki's story, and talking a little bit more about the ways in which women of color have this double burden, and whether even, you know, it's not to take away from the sexual harassment stories of white women or women of color, for that matter, but to just directly connect the dots to the ways in which a environment that allows for sexual harassment also allows for racial denigration and racism.
Let me bring it back to the takeaway for now, and because I want to keep talking about this show and our experience here, which you were involved in, Rebecca. The women in question in Suki's story, Kristen Meinzer, former host Adora Udoji, Celeste Headlee for iChadea, you, fill-in guests, longtime guests on the show, all women of color. And the allegations aren't limited to them, but these are the ones whose identities are known in Suki's story. What did you take away when you read Suki's story, when you talked to her, when you heard other reports on WNYC, when you look across the range of the women who are named in this story, all women of color? I want to know what your reaction was to that and what it is now a couple of days later.
So I have not spoken with Suki directly, but I, of course, read the piece. And, you know, I mean, it feels like a moment of reckoning. It feels like it's high time. It feels like these are all women who I greatly admire and respect. And I think that you know, it's a moment to be listened to, which is quite remarkable, because women of color, black women specifically, and I can only speak, you know, as a black woman, are not listened to. We know that black women and women of color are sexually harassed as much, if not more, than white women, but we don't come forward because there's so much more at stake and at risk. So I think it's a moment of reckoning, and I'm very grateful for it.
Rebecca, I'm the host of this show. I'm the interim host of this show. I have a platform here. Another white guy hosting The Takeaway. There have been women of color as co-hosts. They've gone away for various reasons. John, for whatever reason, and I think it's worth talking about, was the one left standing when all of those other people went away. John is now gone, and here I am hosting the show, again, with this platform. How do you think I can best use it, given what we're talking about?
Well, I think you have to hold yourself accountable. I think you have to ask. I would like to ask you, I would like you to ask yourself, is it lost on you that you are succeeding a white man as a white male host of a show that started with a mission of diversity and inclusivity? What is your role? What is your role in that? And I think that it's a matter of accountability and feeling really, really unclear. You're going to feel unclear, but that's really the start. You have to come undone. You have to undo what you have been thinking, because whatever it was that you were thinking allowed you a certain level of obtusity around this whole issue.
One of the things I said to Suki at the top of the show is that I never really seriously questioned why, when John was training his aggression at times on other people, why it was never trained on me. I was kind of happy for it, to be honest, because it was nice to not be subjected to harassment or screaming. John and I didn't see each other a whole lot. And I felt lucky, like I said, but I never did ask, why am I being spared? I said this at the top of the show. I want to say it again. I never did ask, why am I being spared that?
And I would ask you, why did you not ask yourself that?
I never thought to. I just felt lucky that it wasn't me.
And now you know that you didn't have to, right?
Yeah. You know what? I also heard stories around drinks or chatter. Of course, takeaway employees talked about John's outbursts or his meanness. You know, that came up too. You would hear it when you would socialize with your colleagues. And another thing I never did, even though I never witnessed it directly because I wasn't here much, I never marched up to John and said, hey, I've been hearing stuff about you. Knock it off. Knock it off. I could have done that. He could have told me to get lost. I don't know. I never did that.
Do you think you would if you had the chance to do it again?
In retrospect, if I could now, yeah, I could. And I regret it. I regret it. I wish I had that chance now, Rebecca. And that's part of the regret that situations like this bring. And look, I'm not a victim here because the victims here were the ones who John did harass. The victims are the ones who he did abuse, who he did scream at, who he did kiss.
I can assure you that you will have the opportunity to stand up for women in the future of your career.
And I intend to use it. And I appreciate you coming here, Rebecca Carroll, Special Projects, WNYC. Thank you.
Sure.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.